Good morning, and welcome to the April 8th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is Thursday, April 9th, 2026. We're going to jump right into today's community news and notes with a focus on Tolono, where Tolono's Divine Mercy Group gathered at the Kleist residence on Palm Sunday, March 29th, to stuff goodies into Easter bags. A couple of dozen volunteers made an assembly line after bringing treats, small notebooks, promotional prizes, toys, candy, and prayer cards to put in the festive sacks. Some of the people in the prayer group got financial donations to help offset the expenses. The prayer group had Monocle's Pizza after working together for several hours. Nearly 25 places taking care of the elderly in nursing homes, memory care, and assisted living facilities, as well as shut-ins and people leaving Catholic Mass services, received this free gift with around 3,500 spring treat bags distributed in total. Also at Tolono, they've been participating in talks on the new TIF 2 district. A special meeting for the Village of Tolono was held on April 2nd in the Township Hall on Holden Street, as Mayor Terrence Stuber called the meeting to order. As the gathering started to wear on after 2.5 hours, that hopeful thought at the beginning of the meeting started to lose its luster. Two professionals that deal with tax incremental funding, that's TIF, of course, on a regular basis, were introduced at the front of the room to explain advantages to using this plan as the town's current agreement expires soon. Gwen Crawford came in from the City of Normal and works with an economic development group with attorney Nick Nelson, who introduced the concept on this developer-driven plan and how blighted, stagnant, and lower-value properties could benefit those who like assistance in, who would like assistance in the district. Concerned citizens then made remarks with a 3-minute timer displayed in hopes of being fair when airing their grievances, and that they were mostly negative, mainly describing complaints about their neighborhoods that have not seen any progress in the last 23 years, and that we were locked into this contract that restricts some of the money that is given to our schools, fire departments, parks, and libraries because it was being redirected for projects meant to reinforce growth and progress in our community. Former Mayor Kent Plackett's wife, Susan, had prepared a few statements not being for another TIF commitment, along with Casey Wilson, who has posted regularly on public social media platforms and brought a binder full of examples of how she felt disappointed after following the money trail she had researched on the past TIF and its impact on our community. Denny Davis, sitting next to his wife Marcia, was called upon and with the strategic downtown planning flyer in hand, asked if there was any progress on these strategies after an outside firm had been hired to improve the look of our downtown area. Trustee Jared Robbins has been the lead on this project and noted that the first phases of assessment and research had been completed over the last year. But it would take time, more volunteers, and input to see some of the progress that has been proposed. This brought on another property owner from the downtown area, Damian Donberger, who griped about access to the back of his place with an ongoing debate, mostly on social media, about whether the current space across from the Loose Cobra will be turned into a recreational space or a small park and take away parking spots. Another trustee, Daniel Grady, took the mic at the front of the room to try to keep those attending the meeting on track with the TIFF conversation and talked about being accessible to people with other points of discussion on their minds. As Carolyn Chopp talked on the roving microphone, one of the things she brought up was frustration with traffic patterns on the south side of town with the truck routes. Other people that have also lived in the town for decades complained about the drainage projects being ineffective, which had former Mayor Jeff Holt sharing his stories about how he and his board allocated the funds to update pipes, the water treatment plant, and improve the flow of water with retaining ditches and ponds. These comments were made to defend that the TIFF money was spent appropriately over the past couple of dozen years. When the growth of Tolono came up as a topic with the new subdivisions and houses, including around 300 that were built during TIFF 1, that led to additions to our Unit 7 schools, Unity West built on a wing, and Unity High School added classrooms to the long hallway. Attendees paid close attention as Superintendent Dr. Brian Brink gave his report. One thing that stuck out was his comment on wages for teachers and support staff being lower than some of the other districts in East Central Illinois. This got educators in the room chiming in about how a growing population means more students in classrooms and what a burden that can be to our educators and support staff. Bree Ocasio, the Tolono Park District President, commented on getting money from the village for current lighting and ball diamond upgrades, but because of the current TIFF causing their budget to be strained, her Board of Commissioners has to ask for money to be given to them instead of being able to function without going to meetings, doing a proposal, and then waiting for approval. At its peak, 55 people attended the meeting, but only about 40 were left towards the end when an investor talked about how private developers need these direct incentives from a TIFF to prepare sites to build and expand the growth in town, with his current plan being to build 30 to 35 more homes, should the Joint Review Board vote to approve it. There was pushback on his comments from Robert, known as Bobby, Kolakowski, who felt like he was being talked down to in regards to the person who didn't live in our village but was planning to build. Many left the discussion discouraged as negative vibes seemed to prevail. The next village meeting of the Board of Trustees will be on Tuesday, April 7th at 6:30 in the downtown police station. Typically, the meeting videos can be seen on Facebook, just as this gathering, which garnered nearly 85 views at its peak during the Thursday night meeting, with over 250 comments. Four of the trustees present and the mayor talked on the microphones in front of the room and encouraged people to reach out to them directly to address some of their concerns about the TIFF program. Those who want more information and clarity can send an email to addresses that can be found on the Tolono's website, which is simply tolonoil.us. That's all one word, tolonoil.us. And now we have more Tolono news, including the spring book sale at the Tolono Library. This article by Hillary Reinhardt, the community engagement librarian. And she begins, "Our book donation closet is overflowing, and that means it's time for a book sale, which will be underway through Saturday, April 11th. we will have our large collection of donated and weeded books, DVDs, video games, puzzles, and more, all available for you to peruse. We've had several donations of very new popular books. The sale will be available in our meeting room during all open hours through the end of Saturday, and all purchases will be by donation. Choose what you like and pay what you think is fair to help support the Tolono Library. Donations from the book sale purchases are used in part to complete or enhance our collections, purchase children's books for giveaways for both summer Saturdays in the park and our Christmas events, and to purchase prizes and gifts for the Summer Reading Challenge. If you come explore the book sale on Friday, April 10th, bring your little ones with you to Storytime at 10 a.m. We have a new Storytime leader, Leslie, who will be using her unique experience and expertise to revitalize our Storytimes and make them an exciting experience for our baby and toddlers. If you stop by the sale on Saturday, please buy as many items as you can. Amy, Hillary, and all the clerks will have a quick turnaround after the sale to set up for the mobile DMV event on Monday, and the fewer items left over from the book sale, the better. The Secretary of State's office will be in our meeting room on Monday, April 13th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. to offer a convenient location to complete your simple DMV tasks. Driver's licenses renewals, real IDs, or vehicle stickers can all be obtained at the Tolono Library on Monday, April 13th. Finally, on Wednesday, April 15th, all seniors are invited to join us for coffee talk in the morning from 9 to 10 a.m., and all teens are invited to the Teen Make Lab in the afternoon from 3:30 to 5. That's on Wednesday, April 15th. There's something for all ages this week at the library, so we hope to see you stop in, say hi, and see what all we have to offer you at the Tolono Library. And now we have news from the Philo Library, which is hosting a Bring Your Own Book event, BYOB, but it has a different meaning this time when you bring your own book. After a long hiatus, there will again be a book club meeting at the Philo Public Library. This book club has no required books to read. Just come, with or without a book, and enjoy a chat about what people have been reading lately. Maybe you want to talk about a book you read that you thought was really, really good. Or maybe it was really bad. Or just, read. Share it with the group. Lots of people discover new reads by having them recommended by a friend or acquaintance. Our first meeting of the Bring Your Own Book event will be on Tuesday, May 12th at 6 p.m. in the library's meeting room. Light snacks and refreshments will be available. If you have questions, you can email us at philopublib. It's all one word, philopublib@gmail.com, and we hope to see you then. By the time you hear this article, we may have our new book drop installed. The old one has finally given up the ghost and is being replaced by a new, improved book drop. The new one will be located in the alley to the west of the Philo Library, right where the old one was, and it will accept anything that you checked out from the library. Books, magazines, DVDs, audiobooks, and CDs, plus other media that you might have borrowed. Sometimes it's difficult to make a return in person at the library. You didn't get home in time to return items that are overdue, and the library is now closed, or you had the kids in the car and didn't want to have to bring all of them in just to return a few books, or any other occasion when you weren't able to return checked out items in person. That's what the book drop is for. The drop box provides a safe place for books and other materials where they will not be damaged by the elements, even if they're left out overnight. While we love seeing you, we also understand there are times that it's more convenient to drop and run, and we're good with that. So remember, the book drop is there for you if needed 24/7. And as always, from the Philo Library, thanks for reading. Next up, we have The Rocket Rundown by Olivia Withrift. And she begins, softball and baseball were the only sports this week due to the Easter break and ACT testing. But don't worry, next week's business makes up for this week's lack of activities. Softball had 3 games planned this week, but only played 1. The team took on the Oakwood Comets for their first home game on Monday. The Rockets ended up sending the Comets back to the Culper Belt after a 9-0 win. The team had their rescheduled game against Normal on Thursday, but due to weather conditions, the game had to be rescheduled once again. So next Tuesday, they will play Normal High School. Similarly, the Saturday game against Washington was also canceled due to weather. The girls will take on Rochester on Monday and Monticello on Thursday. Softball will play in Carterville on Saturday as well. Baseball was also supposed to have had 3 games this week, but the weather got in the way of both Thursday's game against Effingham and Saturday's round robin with Neoga and Iroquois West. Next week, they have 2 games and multiple games in Carterville on Saturday. Girls and boys track and field will have a meet in Clinton on Tuesday, and then they both also compete on Saturday in Carterville. Go Rockets! Next up, we have the Sydney Scoop, brought to us by Ann Roten. And she begins by noting that the Monday, April 6th Village of Sydney Board of Trustees meeting was postponed until Monday, April 13th, and it will take place at 7 p.m. in the Sydney Community Building, as always. The Sydney Spring Dumpster Day, scheduled to take place this Saturday, April 11th, from 7 to 11 p.m. at Witt Park. And it's finally upon us. Do remember that some of the prohibited items are tires, yard waste, paints, oils, chemicals, batteries, or electronics of any kind. You must be a Sydney resident to participate, and Village of Sydney folks will verify that you are a Sydney resident, so do be prepared and bring an ID if they don't happen to know you. The State of Illinois Women's Christian Temperance Union meeting will take place on Saturday, April 18th at 10 a.m. at the Coles County Memorial Airport, located at 432 Airport Road in Mattoon, on Route 16 between Mattoon and Charleston. New members are always welcome. The Sydney American Legion Post will hold their next monthly meeting at the Post Home at 221 South David Street in Sydney on Monday, April 20th at 6 p.m. The Sydney Lions Club will hold their 67th annual Donations Accepted Fish Fry on Saturday, May 2nd from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Sydney Community Building at 211 East Main Street in Sydney. The Sydney Lions Club will be giving the community an opportunity to purchase Sydney Lions Club 2026 Christmas Cash and New Year's Dash raffle tickets at the Fish Fry. Tickets are $10 each and can be purchased at the Fish Fry from any member of the Sydney Lions Club or President Bill Hench. The inaugural Sydney Spring Fling event, brought to you by the Goose and the Gander and the Sydney Improvement Group, will take place on South David Street in downtown Sydney on Saturday, May 9th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The event is taking place the day before Mother's Day, so vendors will focus on gifts for mom and more. Anyone interested in being a vendor can visit the Goose and the Gander or their website, which is tgandtg.com. There you can get more information or a vendor contract form. You can also reach out to Brett Franzen at the Goose and the Gander personally or call him at 217-530-5696 or email them at tg.com. and TGLLC@gmail.com. And next up, we have news from Rocket Nation, brought to us by Diane Ducey. And she's focusing on some of the local aspects of the University of Illinois' appearance in the NCAA Final Four basketball tournament. And she begins, a cheerleader with ties to her hometown of Tolono is coming off a stellar season with the Fighting Illini basketball team after their Final Four game on April 4th in Indianapolis. Cameron Hansen graduated from Unity High School in 2022 and will be graduating from the University of Illinois this year and then beginning work on a master's degree. More memorable moments on the cheering squad came with the past few women's basketball seasons and the last two bowl game appearances for U of I football. Reflecting on past influences at Top Star Academy, former coaches Steve Dale and Melanie Drager came to mind, with owner Stephanie Denby helping her decide to be and train as a Flyer, as a mentor in the athlete-to-athlete program and assistant coach at Unity for their refreshed cheer program. Her mother, Amy Hansen, can remember her being a baby in her orange and blue uniform in 2005 during the March to the Arch run in the university's last Final Four experience. Grateful for the opportunity to be part of such an exciting season, Cam Hansen has been a great support as we all watched Coach Brad Underwood and the team do so well with their 28-9 season that came to a close with the 71-62 loss to Connecticut in the national semifinals. Go Illini, and congratulations to Cameron Hansen of Tolono. Next up, we want to honor 12 local students who were named as recipients of the 2026 Tom Tracy Memorial Farm Credit Illinois Family Scholarships administered by the Community Foundation of East Central Illinois. Each of the 12 scholars receives $3,000 towards their college education expenses. The selection criteria include scholastic achievement, leadership and community contributions, career vision and goals, and financial need. Scholars are under 26 years of age, and they are the children or grandchildren of Farm Credit Illinois employees and will be enrolled as full-time college students this fall. The following students are the new recipients of the Tom Tracy Memorial Family Scholarships. They are Grace Kane of Mahomet, who's pursuing a degree in clinical mental health counseling at the University of the Cumberlands; Matt Canning of Marissa, who is majoring in mechanical engineering at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville; Mariska Fraley of Campsville will be seeking a degree in child development at Lewis and Clark Community College; Elise Horton of Norris City will be studying exercise science at the University of Evansville; Isaiah Lindker of New Athens is pursuing a degree in mathematics with a concentration in secondary education at the University of St. Francis; Claire Meharry of Tolono will be planning to major in medical laboratory science at Illinois State University; Mason Orton of Mahomet is studying business at Northern Illinois University; Cole Pollock of Stonington is pursuing a degree in animal science at Kansas State University; Austin Ritter of Savoy is seeking a degree in integrated business and engineering at Purdue University; Chase Sweden of Bloomington will major in accountancy at the University of Missouri; Braxton Thorpe of Ivesdale will be studying agribusiness at Illinois State University; and Brett Young of Clinton will be studying agribusiness markets and management at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. our most sincere congratulations to these outstanding young people from our own community. Next up, we have an interesting discussion about the need for infrastructure upgrades for American agriculture to maintain its competitive edge. This article is by Tammy Sloop, adapted from the publication Farm Week. The U.S. grain transportation system, particularly our inland waterways, is considered a competitive edge for America's farmers. But a century-old lock and dam system along the Mississippi River and a pending rail merger could present challenges in the future. Part of the success we've had in exports is because we have this really efficient intermodal system of river and rail and roads that all work together, and it's important to keep those systems up because when we're talking about moving such a large volume that we produce here, being able to get that to an export destination efficiently is really important. According to the National Corn Growers Association chief economist, Krista Swanson, Illinois is a bit different from other states with its vicinity to the Mississippi River, the Illinois River, and the Ohio River, which allow for more exposure to the international market than some other places, said Colin Waters, the Illinois Corn's Director of Exports and Logistics. The Mississippi River system is one of the most critical logistics corridors for the U.S. corn export system, which makes advocating for federal investments to modernize the waterways a priority for Illinois Corn and Illinois Farm Bureau. During a recent Leaders to Washington trip, members advocated for legislative support to improve infrastructure along the Mississippi, particularly the aging lock and dam system. Tom Heinold, chief of the Operations Division of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Rock Island District, said that routine maintenance has pretty much stayed on schedule, but non-routine repairs have not been well funded in the last couple of years. I believe that 2022 was the last time we got a large infusion of infrastructure money for our lock and dams, so things are breaking faster than we can repair them right now, Heinhold told Farm Week. But I have to caveat that and say that during the 2000s, 2010s, and the first couple years of the 2020s, we took very good care of the locks. My next concern is the dams. Those dam gates out there, there are a few hundred of them across all of our dams between the St. Louis, Rock Island, and St. Paul districts, and they have gone largely unmaintained, and they are starting to show signs of decay. According to the USDA, close to 60% of U.S. grain exports are shipped by barge, and roughly 32 million tons of corn per year are barged down the Mississippi River system to the Louisiana export terminals. Barges dominate because Midwestern corn can be loaded on rivers and moved chiefly to Gulf export ports. Most corn used within the U.S. moves by truck or rail to ethanol plants, feedlots, or other processors. Right now, we do have a competitive edge because we've invested in this river system, and it's reliable and very, very efficient. However, if we fail to invest in this system in the future, that price point could go the other way, and Brazil and other ag processing nations in South America, for instance, could virtually eat us alive, Heinhold said. Drought and consistent low water levels in the lower Mississippi also continue to be a concern, while the upper river is currently looking pretty good, Heinhold said. On the lower river, they have gone for about 4 years in a drought condition, and unfortunately, that condition more or less is persisting. We've had some recent rain, but it hasn't been enough to cancel out the drought and put a great deal of water back into the river system down south. The system is all connected, so it will be worth watching the potential drought on the lower river. This could mean the need for light loading barges, which in turn affects prices. When you have to make more trips with a towboat to get the same product to market that gets passed on to all consumers down the system. This concludes our reading of the April 8th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.